Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
WTIC, I love this segment. Well, for good reason. Because of all the... We have a lot of guests on during the week. And of the guests who are middle school students, I would say that James is my favorite. James, welcome back. Good to have you here, sir.
Oh, hello. Thank you, Todd, for having me on the show. Before I
Are
get
you
to
kidding? It's a blast having you on the show.
Oh, well, thank you for thinking I'm entertaining. Before I get to my topic, I just want to say today's 9/11, and I want to like put out my condolences to all the people that were affected. And
well, thank you. That's very kind of you.
Thank you. Now I'm going to get on to my topic. I was going to talk about Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. And
okay.
why if it gets repealed, it could hurt the internet and many people and everybody that uses it. And actually, this affects me personally because I'm a YouTuber, a small one, but still a YouTuber. I have 161 subscribers, and I recently got a sponsorship. What happens, why this affects me is because Section 230 protects websites like YouTube from getting... having the same restrictions as a newspaper, because what happens is YouTube isn't held accountable if somebody does something bad on YouTube, but if YouTube does something bad on YouTube, they're held accountable.
Yeah, so they're acting as a platform that allows you to present what you choose to present, as opposed to a newspaper, which is hiring people to write stories, taking things from wire services. They're responsible for the presentation of the content. They're
right.
Very different. And so this law protects YouTube from being sued for something awful that you might accidentally say while you're doing one of your presentations. Is that it, James?
Right. So pretty much what would happen is, so the reason why I'm mentioning this and the reason why I'm mentioning it getting repealed is because on both sides of the aisle, Democrat and Republican, people are being very vocal. Actually, politicians are extremely vocal about repealing it. Joe Biden is very vocal about it, and so is Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz and Joe Biden are the front runners, but there's also Nancy Pelosi, and actually, President Trump is also trying to... Actually, President Trump already attempted to repeal it in the executive order, but never really finished the executive order.
Okay, and where are Democrats on this?
So Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, and the majority of Democrats, the reason why they dislike it is because they say fake news. See, with fake news, the way I see it is, if you believe a fake news outlet or an extreme to one side, if you believe these horrible conspiracy theories, that's not the internet's fault. That's your fault. Sure, conspiracy theories can be bad, but you shouldn't believe them, and they're quite obvious.
Well, another way to look at that would be the free speech argument, that First, it's great to have free speech because ideas get fleshed out. So if people are talking stupid stuff on the internet, then other people can say, hey, that's stupid. And that gives it an airing and a chance to be judged. But more important is this idea of if somebody has the power and the responsibility, which is what you're talking about, to ban things, to censor things, if YouTube has the job of making sure that what you say isn't offensive, that gives a small number of people, or even worse, an algorithm, the right to take away the free exchange of ideas. And the free exchange of ideas are a precious thing.
Okay, so here's where me being a YouTuber comes into play. You see, the way I think about it is, yes, technically there are administrators and there is an algorithm that does censor things, but I have never been censored for having anything inappropriate. And a lot of the times the reason it's censored is because it's sexual. It's because it has vulgar language. I'm not talking normal curse words. I'm talking things like the N-word. And if it's used in an extremely derogatory way, even when it's not, okay, it's hard not to say it in a derogatory way, but those words are instantly censored, and they're not actually deleted. They have this little marking that says, I think it's like restricted by community guidelines, and it can't be found by people on children accounts.
So where do you come down on how should this policy be structured in your mind? What should be, because you wouldn't want YouTube to allow outrageous things to be there, would you, and to just turn their back and say that's not our responsibility?
They should not. So if there's this might resonate with the viewers, if there's a terrorist organization, let's say Al-Qaeda, if Al-Qaeda is posting a recruiting video, those are the types of video that actually get destroyed. Those don't get marked, those get destroyed. And actually, there was actually this horrible thing that happened on YouTube. It's actually why I lost my monetization and why I wasn't able to remonetize myself. It's because, so there was a, like, 2016 to 2017, there was a span of time where there were, like, alt-right type racists. They were getting money from their videos because they were getting ad revenue. So do you know what YouTube had to do? They had to delete all those channels because those are just unacceptable. And then they had to make it so you have to have over 1,000 subscribers and you have to have over 4,000 view hours to get ad revenue.
Okay, so they wanted to make it harder to get that benefit, and that means it's something you have to build up to over time for yourself. So you've suffered from this kind of censorship already.
Right, and also if Section 230 gets pretty much deleted, if it gets rid of, you know what's going to happen? Copyright strikes. So there's this thing called Fair Use Act, right? The content, the people that make the content, so the YouTubers, they can use copyrighted material as long as it's within fair use, which is pretty much if it's a parody, if it's an edit, or if it's used for criticism or anything along that line.
Right. This is what allows us on the radio to play sound cuts from, say, TV news or something like that. It's called fair use.
YouTuber is protected by fair use, but YouTube isn't protected by fair use. So that means that the people who have the who own the copyrighted material
can force YouTube to take it down.
Right. So they go through YouTube.
Hold on, James. Hold on 1 second. Take a breath. Good material you're presenting us. Just want to do a weather forecast, and then we'll continue. Okay, James, continue with the fair use.
Okay, so with fair use, the content creator, YouTuber, I'm going to actually use me as an example, makes a video that has copyrighted material. It's protected by fair use. YouTube isn't protected by fair use, but YouTube should be fine until Section 230 if Section 230 is abolished, which it has a high chance of being abolished, if that gets abolished, then YouTube, it's almost like a domino effect. The people that own their content will just kneel on YouTube and force YouTube to hit you. So they have a workaround to fair use. And actually, I have actually exactly 100 videos on my YouTube channel. I would bet that 96% of those would actually get destroyed. And my channel will be struck out of existence because 96% of those use copyrighted material, especially my more recent ones, which I've actually been relying on fair use because they're edits of a TV show.
So you're grabbing clips from TV shows and commenting on them and
yeah,
riffing
well,
off
no,
them
I don't comment on them. I actually haven't used my voice once in my channel. So pretty much,
I do this thing
called it's actually funny. Have you ever heard of a YouTube poop? Well, they're comedical edits.
Nope.
And I've also made AMVs where there's just like an edit where you sync clips of the show to a music, a song.
Okay.
So if Section 230 was abolished by either the right or the left, then I'll get Neomon. And the people, see, I've only made roughly $60 from YouTube total, from all the ways I used to be able to get money from it, from a small sponsorship. There are people that make livings off of YouTube.
Sure, you know big called? Livings.
Do you know what's going to happen to people like PewDiePie? They are going to have their entire life flash in front of them. Their income's going to be gone. Their income's going to be gone. They can't live.
Yes.
And actually, I never got to why Republicans wanted to get rid of Section 230.
Okay, what's their reason?
Their reason is that it supposedly, even though it doesn't mention a single political party, suppresses conservative views. So their reasoning for how it suppresses conservative views is it allows for censorship to be done on the platform. So here's my reasoning. I use many social media apps. I am actually a power user of Quora. I make videos for other people and edit for them, and I make my own channel on YouTube, and I browse Twitter quite a bit. On Quora, I think I've seen more conservative views than I have seen liberal views. And on Twitter, I've seen quite a bit of conservative views, but because there were just physically more liberals using Twitter than there are conservatives, it's hard to have more conservative views. And on YouTube, I don't follow that many political channels, but there are quite a bit of conservatives. There's actually one that's it's like a pro-gun YouTube channel that I subscribe to. They just, like, make comedical videos making fun of people that have horrible arguments against gun rights. But I don't see that much of conservative censorship. They actually often bring up the subreddit called The Donald and how it got destroyed. Do you want me to tell you why The Donald got taken down?
What happened?
The N-word. That's it.
But all the stuff you're pointing to, it seems to me, is the slippery slope of censorship. Once you start holding people responsible for ideas being dangerous as opposed to being ideas being protected, then you create this dynamic where it turns into politics instead of constitutional principle and people's rights, and then they fight about it in their own best interest, not in ours.
And here's when I mention ISIS recruit videos. I used Al-Qaeda recruit videos a second ago. Do you think anything along that line of extremism, not even just the terrorism or even just like horrible neo-Nazi groups, do you think those people that actually violate hate speech laws, which do exist, violate hate speech laws, should be tolerated?
Well, I wouldn't mind if they weren't using it for organizing. I think it's important I think we're better off as a society with outrageous views being expressed and heard than we are for having them secretly incubating outside of our line of vision.
Yeah.
So I prefer no censorship.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. But also sometimes like things that genuinely just don't belong on there. So if there's like a platform that's supposed to be for maybe expressing different sides of the political aisle and somebody like post something sexual, they should have the freedom to remove that.
Well, yes, that's different. And there's nothing wrong with somebody choosing to curate their site. But to have a site that's purpose is to have free expression and then decide who gets to freely express. I mean, this is difficult stuff, James, that you're bringing up, because these are new platforms and new dynamics where a company like YouTube effectively has created what would have been the public square, what would have been the town common, what might have been somebody standing up and giving a talk at the mall or in a downtown area. And therefore, our world is changing in where we express ourselves physically, and it's lining up in a difficult zone in terms of how government rules are supposed to work. Free speech doesn't apply to YouTube. It's a private company. It's got the right to curate its site any way it wants. Same with Facebook. And we've got to reconcile the fact that they are huge players in our ability to communicate the problem that you're having right now. You want to be able to use it like anyone else can. And now they're trimming away at your options. It's very complicated.
Right. Yeah. But also,
well, you brought up a good topic today.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd.
What were you going to say? Go ahead.
I was going to say the main part that scares me is mainly just the copyright issue, because so many people are going to be hurt by the copyright part that, honestly, this might come off as controversial, but I've always thought of something. If legislators who don't know how to correctly use their smartphone, should they be legislating the internet?
Well, there are all kinds of questions we could ask about what our legislators should be legislating, and it's hard to find the right answer. But this is why our system was designed the way it was, to try to keep these guys out of this kind of business, and that's what's so complicated right now. James, thank you, sir. You gave us a lot to think about. You articulated it beautifully, and you're passionate about it, which is awesome. So I like this approach. I like that you came at us with this surprise topic. This is big fun. Thank you so much.
Before I go, is it okay if I put the name of my YouTube channel out there? Yerb.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's Yerb, so Y-E-R-B, space
Y-E-R-B.
Studios. Space Studios.
Yerb Space Studios. Good, I want to check it out. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
I'm writing it down. Yerb Space Studios.
Because they're not as good as my newer ones.
You let us be the judge of that, okay?
Yeah, thanks, Todd.
All right, James. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much. That is James, 7th grader, 12-year-old, musician, and YouTuber, among a thousand different things. What a fascinating youngster he is, and it's great to have him here on WTIC. It's also great. He's a little bit older, but let's go to Mark Christopher in the Brown Payne Derrison Scott Traffic Center and see if he can deliver with the same kind of passion and excitement. Hey there, Mark.
I have a son who's in 7th grade also. He's not quite as chatty as your guest, but that young man has got a bright future, man. He's good.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.